I'm a chicken fried. And cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And the radio.
Good morning, 740 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Oh, I'm going to tell you a vignette about Congressman Jimmy Petraeus that, you'll see. So I'm talking with him off the air, and I had asked him. Actually, let's go ahead and bring him on. Hey, Jimmy, you there, sir?
I am. All right. Go ahead.
We were talking off the air, and I did not know the answer to the question. So I asked you what your alma mater. You said FSU. And I'm like, I'm so sorry about Friday night. And he's like, yeah, you brought that up on purpose. I'm like, I didn't. I really didn't know. And I'm like, I'm, you know, Auburn and went adopted and went to Illinois. And he said, Illinois, huh? How'd Indiana do for you? And I'm like, fair enough. Why you got to bring that up? Fair enough. But I love that. I love that. You would know the horribly embarrassing outcome of a game for my school from last week. That's pretty impressive. So well done. Kudos to you. In amongst all the other things you got to pay attention to. Okay, so the government shut down Hokey Pokey. I feel like, my God, every time it feels like to me, we go through this, they want this, we want this, they're to blame, and then we do some kind of continuing resolution or some stopgap measure, and for another 6 months, we stop talking about it, and then we do it again in six. That's how it feels to me. Also, it feels a little different this time with threatening specific job cuts and all that kind of stuff. So you tell me, you're on the inside of this thing. What are you seeing? What's going on?
Well, I see that Schumer definitely caught a lot of heat when he worked with Republicans back in the spring to do this exact same process. The speaker's committed to doing a structured appropriations bill process, and he wants to get the stopgap accomplished now so that we, between now and November 21st, we do exactly that. Well, Schumer now is doubling down to his base. He's getting ravaged by the AOCs and this far left wing to not be so embracing of working with Republicans. So now, I mean, and you got Mondani, who is now becoming this figurehead of the Democratic Party. Schumer, I don't believe, has endorsed Mondani yet. I mean, it's just really a nasty family food fight amongst the Democrats. And all I want to do is get to work. You know what I mean? So they've got to throw out the most far left reaching policies and ideas out there to try to save their own political house. That to me is an inferno.
It seems to me, again, I deliberately don't pay a lot of attention to the government shutdown Hokey Pokey because it always seems to, it just seems to not really resolve
right.
Long term. But it seems to me like the main issue here, if there is a main issue, is Republicans want the big, beautiful bill and the funding for it. And Democrats want the Obama era, you know, tax credits and all of that and the money that comes with that. Is that basically it, or is there more to it than that? And how much are we talking about in terms of a difference of opinion here?
I think the biggest is they want to get the Medicaid dollars back where they were. They want to be able to play in the space of clawing back dollars for giving Medicaid dollars to illegals. You know, and it's so crazy what we provide to an illegal citizen that we don't even make available to somebody who's a citizen of the United States. I mean, we got to get our policies back in order, and these radicals that are just right now teetering on the brink of making their arguments. You know, I really wish, and we've got a few in our own party that are really their purists, and it makes it hard to try to bring some of this stuff in for a landing. I get frustrated, and of course they throw PBS back in there. They want funding for PBS. It's just become a an unfortunate battle, and we look ridiculous. We really do.
So it's just the all the stuff that got taken out of the backpack. We want everything back in the backpack because, hey, if we're going to squabble, let's squabble about everything and pretend like we've made no progress already. Is that kind of how you see it?
Yeah, it's funny. They want everything back in the backpack. Of course, all the things that we champion with no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, of course, they want to leave all that in there. So now they realize, and that may be the other part of it, is they realize they voted against something that is popular with a lot of people. So now they got to figure out how to save face, too. So it's pretty comical.
Well, saving face only cost you $1 trillion or so. I mean, what's the big deal?
yeah, I, I, I apologize that this is what we're doing, but we got a call with a speaker in short order right here where he's going to give us an update. He's supposed to be sitting down with the president today to hopefully bring this all in firm landing. There's a lot of moving parts. Netanyahu's just go to the White House today.
Right.
You got the president supposed to meet all of it with the generals with headset. I mean, it's a busy day for the Trump administration.
I mean, it's no big deal. Just solve the Middle East and domestic financial disagreements. It's fine. It's an easy day.
Russia just hit Ukraine with 60 drone strike.
Yes.
I mean, this is and they were just interviewing a Russian on TV who's on a motorcycle parade, and he says it sucks. I have to wait years to get a imported motorcycle. Now, Russia is so big that Moscow proper doesn't even feel what's going on in the U.S. either. So,
yeah. Speaking of things that President Trump is doing now, his name has been added to tomorrow's big gathering. Pete Hegseth, Secretary of, well, I guess, do we say Secretary of War now? I guess we do. Anyway, Secretary of Defense, Secretary of War,
yes, you do.
The SOD or the SOW. Either way, it's not a good acronym. He's gonna bring together all of the one stars and up, and now Trump is gonna be involved in this. Is this about shedding upper echelon personnel, which is something Pete Hegseth has said is a priority? Is this about something bigger? I mean, are we talking about like national war plans? What's your read on this situation?
I think a number of things. I think one, you need to start with an example of leadership, with encouragement, expectations, so readiness for our troops, the fights ahead. So I think the president also probably wants to have a meeting where they hear his expectations from his mouth. And if those expectations do not start to evolve and materialize, then he's going to have a total, fallback position of where he's going to start, shedding these guys and changing out leadership. So I think this is just simply one of those. I'm going to love you. I'm going to show you how much I respect you. I'm going to show you what my expectations are. And if you're not going to do what I ask you to do as our goal, as an effort, then we're going to ask you to retire. So I'm thinking probably all the above.
Okay, so this is a tone setting and a, hey, all the senior management needs to be on board with what we're doing right now. And if you can't be, you need to find occupation elsewhere. Okay. I mean, I can see how that would be. That's management,
that's
right?
It's an opportunity for all these guys. And if they have not spent any time chatting with Hegseth, this will be their opportunity to bring everybody in to have that visit with Hegseth, and the same thing with the president. So, I mean, this is good for engagement to actually put people eyeball to eyeball with their superiors of all levels. So,
I was curious to get your take, since you are a congressman, you're our closest connection to what's going on in D.C. Trump and the Department of Justice don't work for you, but obviously you see the things that happen. The indictment of former FBI Director Jim Comey, grand jury, okay? And yet, even when justified, it has the feel of political retaliation. Of course, the critics say it's absolutely what it is, and of course Trump says, well, hell, you've been doing that to me my whole life, and also it's really bad, he lied. Your read on this situation, your thoughts?
I think a number of these developments are probably forced into the spotlight and acting upon them probably because of the statute of limitations. So, this is right at the 5-year. I'm not an investigator, but everything on the surface, I always say when there's that much smoke, there's going to be some fire. I think Comey's done some stupid stuff. I think he also has tried to be cute with some of his, snarky posts that unfortunately snarky posts are threats that ultimately could be arrested for. So he's just being dumb. So, I mean, you keep on playing dumb games. Unfortunately, you're going to win dumb prizes. And I think, now this is put before a grand jury, which is basically a box of people that should not have an opinion. They're being explained a set of circumstances of what, Comey has done. And yeah, they've agreed to an indictment. So, watch what you wish for, dude. This thing's, it's on now.
I'll tell you the one that it makes me think of, and it has bothered me for years, that the then director of national intelligence under Obama, Jim Clapper, lied to the face of Ron Wyden in the Senate panel about the existence of the NSA metadata program that was gathering information on, Americans and journalists and everybody. And he said it did not exist to his face. I mean, he lied to the Senate. And I mean, he could have bowed out or said, you know, classified, or, you know, I'll talk to you in private. But he didn't. He lied to the Senate. And nothing ever happened because of that, that I know of. And I mean, that may be beyond the reach right now. But I mean, I want liars and the government punished, you know. And I mean, that would have been a case where whatever you want to do to him, I'm good. You know, do anything to him. He deserves it.
Well, it sounds like you're in agreement then on what's going on with Comey, because, it, you know, by all indications, he was not being forthright with his comment to Congress. And you know what? An investigation will just get to the bottom of it. But again, I mean, that's why I refuse to lie. Because when you start lying, you got to keep up the lies.
Yeah.
You know, I tell people all the time, you may not like what I'm going to tell you, but I'm going to shoot straight with you. I'm going to tell you the truth. And this is where it is right now. Now, could it change 2 days later, 3 days later? Absolutely. As more and more we start facing the truth, you have to, you know, able to, if it's really going to be this outcome, let's work on changing it. And that's a lot of times what happens. People just have to come to grips that we've got a tough job in Washington, D.C., and the public deserves the better. They really do.
I will tell you, for my own part, I have a hard enough time remembering all the truth. Just to tell that, I don't know how these people do it when they make up lies and tell things, and how I've always actually, I've said this before, but I have a weird kind of admiration for liars, because it looks so impossibly hard to me to be good at it. And I'm amazed that people manage to pull it off. It's bizarre. I mean, I'm glad I can't, because anyway. Last thing I want to ask you about, Jimmy, is this incident in Michigan, where you had this guy drives his truck into a Latter-day Saints service. He sets the place on fire. He starts shooting people. I mean, it's 5 people dead so far, and I'm sure that number is going to be higher when we get all said and done. I am very reluctant to be drawn to these are all against conservatives. These are all against religious people. These are all against, but I will tell you, it seems like that is the pattern when it's political or speech related. The attacks aren't going the other way.
No, and this incident in Michigan, it was terrible. I mean, everything was premeditated. And it was an accelerant that was already on the ground. And as he drove the truck into the church, then he was out there with his, you know, rifle just shooting people as they fled from the church. I mean, this is a sick dude. You know, how do you go after, you know, people in a place of worship? It's a soft target with these folks. You know, really just trying to be grateful for what they've, you know, had to come to assemble for. And you know, just it breaks my heart, especially for those families and how they're dealing with their loss of their loved ones. But, you know, I don't want to create an environment where we, you know, doing surveillance on our own citizens. But you've got some folks out there that are really, really creating problems.
You know, the other part of this, and you know, I don't know how much you care to say on the subject or not, but, you know, some of the things that we see happening, I just think that the mental health and political framework and just the cultural language we have to talk about them is inadequate. As a Christian, you know, I believe that there are spiritual forces, right? There's angels, there's demons, there's God, there's Satan, there's, you know, lots of stuff going on. And when I see some of these things, I think, I just don't think you can explain this as some psychiatric break or just some character flaw. You know, I mean, this looks like demonic activity to me. And, you know, especially when you see some of these people and they do these horrible things, and it's like all of a sudden they realize that it's wrong and they take their own life. Not in this case necessarily, but, you know, often. And I think, well, I mean, it just that seems to fit a profile like that. And I feel like maybe we're not doing enough to be honest about how we just don't have the language to talk about these things in secular terms.
No, well, look, I'm a big believer in doing postmortems on all this stuff, but I guarantee you this twisted dude, you know, I bet you his social media activity of what he was looking at and how he's being indoctrinated, you know, created the demons that were haunting him, that were driving him to do this. So however we profile it, you know, I do believe in demons. I do believe that there's angels that look out for us and protect us from harm. I look at how many times I've been blessed with, you know, good fortune, but this guy, I guarantee you where there's that much smoke, there's going to be fire, and his source of his his nasty direction in life he decided to take himself. It's hateful. You know, it's all going to be tied back to the social media feed. This
yeah.
guy was poisoning himself every day with this device in his hand of content that really is it should be illegal.
It's defiling and, you know, horrific. And I would be very surprised if that doesn't turn out to be true. Jimmy Patronis, our congressman from
yeah.
Florida District 1. Jimmy, as always, thank you for the time. I hope the call goes well. I hope we manage to, you know, figure out all these big problems because Lord knows we need to figure them out. But again, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week, sir.
Yep, I'll have more updates for you. Take care.
Excellent.